From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, about the marketplace and the futures in Chicago. The folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County will be along to look at the agricultural cash grain market. And closer to the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, Dave Dickey will be here with the agricultural news, and we'll hear a podcast I did this morning via Skype with Gary Schnitke. He's in Florida. The sound is great, and we're talking about the acreage battle and whether corn or soybeans is the primary target at this point. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this in Chicago. The nearby soft red winter wheat down 14¾ cents at 7.02½. The March at 7.42½, 14¾ lower. In July at 7.72½, down 11¼. The hard red December at 7.54¼ in Kansas City, down 16¾ from the corn pit. A 4¾ cent loss in the lead option December. The harvest month at 5.77¼ on a Monday. March at 5.90½, down 4½. May corn 5.96¼, down 4¾. July a nickel lower at 5.98¾. September at 5.61¼, down 3/4. In December at 5.40¼ for next year, down a penny and 3/4 for the day. November beans 0.75 cents lower, $12.25¼. January 12.35 down 1. March 12.40 down 1/4. The May at 12.40 down 1/4. July futures up a penny and 1/4. They finished at 12.44¾. Next year's November soybeans at $11.74, a penny higher on the day. December bean meal at $3.37.80, a settlement price up a dime. December soybean oil at $49.75, up 45 cents. The mercantile exchange numbers, December live cattle, 98.15, a settlement down 67½. February at 101.77½, down 40. November feeders at 110.35, 2½ cents higher on the afternoon. And December lean hog futures at $65.20, finished a dollar lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures for the afternoon at $82.98, currently down a dollar, rather up $1.55. Ethanol at $2.36¾, up 2⅛ cents. Natural gas at $3.83½, 20⁾ cents lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel up 4 cents at $2.27⁸. The November gold futures at $1,350.20, down $6.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,115, just about 4 points lower on the day. U.S. dollar at 77.28 is up 0.01 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. They're saying this afternoon should be partly sunny, a high near just 56 degrees. East winds around 10 miles an hour, though gust as high as 15 this afternoon. Tonight on a Monday, partly cloudy, a low of 34, east northeast winds around 8 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 55, an east wind at 7 to 9, they'll gust to 15. And tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, a low of 33, northeast winds at 7 miles an hour. When we get to Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny, the high 58, west winds between 5 and 10, gusting to 15. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 38, Thursday cloudy, a high near 49 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 32. On Friday, should be partly sunny, the high of 43. Friday night, 24 degrees and partly cloudy. Saturday, sunny and 48. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low around 32 degrees at the freezing mark. And when we get to Sunday, should be sunny with a high near 54. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
An interesting day at all for you in the marketplace, or was just kind of lackluster?
Oh, Monday's always interesting, Todd. You come in for a little bit Sunday night, and you walk back in here Monday morning, and just don't know what to expect. But the market, over the last few trading days, is absorbing quite a bit of news, actually. Today's action started, somewhat positive with continued export news, ideas that, demand remains robust and that end users still need some coverage here, and producers are tight holders, and that sort of gave the market some support. But as we got in after the first hour trade, news came out that Deutsche Bank was wanting to come in and reallocate their money on their funds, specifically maybe taking a little bit of less long position or money out of the grain complex and converting that money into another sector. And that's kind of the worst fear in here. We've hit on over the last couple of months here, some of these outlook meetings we've been at is, it's great that the funds and speculators have been buying the grain market here, but you just can't force them to stay long. And at some point in time, they might want to take their money and put it somewhere else for a little while. So we'll see if the rest of the funds follow suit and we see a major reallocation of this portfolio. But that's sort of a longer-term event. It'd be virtually impossible for them to do that overnight. And if they do decide that, hopefully it'll take a several months for that to materialize. Then technically today, a little bit of a red flag, not from just looking at the lower closes on the screen, but from the fact the market did make a new high and close lower in the day, suggesting maybe a cool down here for a little while, Todd.
And do you think that'll have any follow-through in this evening's beginning of tomorrow's session?
We feel there will be a little bit of follow-through. The key is last Friday's lows.
Mm-hmm.
If we start moving much below last Friday's lows, we feel there will be some additional liquidation. We're picking up there's some stops just under Friday's lows in all the commodities. Corn, beans, and wheat particularly. The meal and the oil closed fairly good today. And we saw a little bit of reversal of the spreads, too. The bear spread kicked in a little bit, or liquidation of the bull spread. So I think as a trader and even as a producer, we watch Friday's lows. If Friday's lows give way, that might be a signal we might be in for a little bit more of a correction.
Now, wheat was the weakest in the marketplace. Soybeans remain pretty steady despite the pressure that came from the grains.
Yeah, beans, often on news in the southern hemisphere on whether receiving rain, not receiving rain, that's a big growing area. So we'll continue to monitor that situation as we move along. There's always going to be a wet spot, dry spot, cold spot, hot spot. So that's going to be the more of a market maker as we move into December and January. But good bean business under the market. Asia continues to gather some inventory here. Export shipments, what we shipped out, 60 million bushels, so we're shipping out what we sold, so that's positive. Wheat-wise, it's going to be a victim of the spread from day to day, also to the forecast. Quite a bit of the wheat growing regions and dry dirt, so it's going to be real critical to get some moisture on the wheat here sometime this fall, winter, to get it up and get it going.
You think anything in the last day or last week is a reason for a producer of corn, soybeans, wheat to be alarmed?
Well, at these price levels, our risk is to the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of producers say, well, I need these higher prices to meet higher input costs, which is true, but that adds the more awareness here that we need to be selling up higher here to make sure we lock in profits, because if we go lower, we don't want to receive lower prices to try to play catch-up. So, yeah, I think we got to use the strength in here to make catch-up sales and do some replacement strategies. That way, if the market does go higher, you're on board. If not, you've got your money and can pay some bills.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very good, Todd. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And that is Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll have all the agricultural news for the afternoon. Just a quick reminder, please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
In agricultural news, the current chair of the House Agriculture Committee says that a change in party control in the House of Representatives likely ensures direct payments will be protected in the next farm bill. Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, says his push to pass a farm bill next year will likely end, as will his attempt to put more emphasis on crop insurance rather than traditional commodity programs. Republican Representative Frank Lucas of Oklahoma is expected to chair the Agriculture Committee should the Republican Party win the House tomorrow. Reports today say that BHP feels no pressure to raise its $39 billion offer for Potash Corporation since no rival has emerged and is focused on clearing three hurdles. The Sunday Times newspaper in London reported BHP planned to sweeten its offer for the world's biggest fertilizer maker by 10%. A person familiar with the situation said BHP is rather working on surmounting three legal and regulatory obstacles over the next 8 days. Major BHP investors say the company should be wary about bumping up the bid price, and several objected to an increase more than 10%. Officials at the European Union grain lobby today say that proposals to concede decision-making on genetically modified crops, or GMOs, to European Union member states could damage the bloc's food industry by disrupting internal trade. Last month, EU farm ministers delayed making a decision on the proposals from the European Commission, the EU's executive arm. The proposals have sparked controversy as they would allow governments to ban GMO crops across all or part of their territory for social, economic, ethical, or moral reasons. California unveiled its final draft of a market system to curb greenhouse gases, relaxing expected rules in the face of a weak economy in a measure that could set the tone for the nation's climate policy. California says it will give away virtually all necessary permits to factories and power plants when the plan starts in 2012, rather than sell them at auction. The plan, unveiled on Friday and likely to be adopted December 16th, ensures easy compliance terms in early years, and planners reserve the rights to give preferential terms to industries that are at risk of fleeing the state. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, thank you very much for listening. Dave and I do really appreciate it. Up next, we'll hear a podcast Gary Schnitke and I put together this morning for the FarmDoc website. It's all about the acreage battle. You're listening to a Farm Doc podcast. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist from U of I, is with us to talk about his latest FEFO. That stands for Farm Economics Facts and Opinion. Can be found on the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. The title is 2011 Return Projections Suggest Corn Will Be More Profitable Than Soybeans. Gary, thanks for being with us. What prompted you to look at the acreage battle?
Well, the recent increase in commodity prices have a lot of people interested in what acreages will be planted next year and whether we'll have more or less corn and more or less soybeans. So that's what prompted this FEFO.
And tell me about the data you collected and looked at.
What we did was we projected 2011 cost, and we used our Illinois budgets to do that. We updated those budgets for higher commodity prices and higher fertilizer cost, and then projected corn returns and soybean returns for northern Illinois, central Illinois, and high and low productivity in central Illinois and southern Illinois.
And what did you find?
What we found is that in all areas, all regions of the state, corn was more profitable than soybeans. And just to pick on the central Illinois region, high productivity land, we found that corn was more profitable than soybeans by, or is projected to be more profitable by, $132 per acre, which is considerably above the average for the past 10 years.
That seems almost counterintuitive to most who watch the commodity markets. I would suspect they might have thought that soybeans had climbed high enough for them to be the more profitable of the two crops.
No. And again, you know, and if you think about it, there might be a couple of things working against corn, and that was higher fertilizer cost, and in particular, anhydrous ammonia has increased in price quite a lot, close to $700, and may even be over $700 per ton. But if you look at the price increases, they've been proportionally more for corn than for soybeans. And for 2011, we're using a $4.80 corn price and an $11 soybean price for our 2011 projections. So this would be for next year.
Did you compare these to historical averages?
Yep, and they're considerably above historical average. And just to give you an idea here, again, central high, we projected corn to be $132 more profitable. From 2004 to 2010, the average was $49 per acre. So the 2011 projection is about $90 higher than the average. And the 2011 projection exceeds all years from 2000 to 2010.
And you also figured some break-even prices. You used corn at $5 as your level. I suppose producers will be happy with that. We could have used corn at $4, but at $5, you have to bring the price of soybeans up pretty sharply to make it competitive with corn.
Yeah, at $5 corn in northern and central Illinois, you need soybean prices above $13.20, and in southern Illinois, it's $12.85. So soybeans would still have to be at $5 in the $13 per bushel range.
And this is the cash price, and this is that cash price actually isn't just pulled out of the thin air, really. It's within the range that USDA has for the average cash price for the current crop year.
That is correct. It's current cash price for the current crop year. And you can for 2011 crop, it's pretty close to what can be hedged at for the 2011 crop right now.
So if you had to summarize it, what would you say?
Right now, given where prices are at now, we would say corn's going to be more profitable than soybeans, and we'll see what farmers do as far as their acreage decisions.
Gary Schnitke, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist, seasoned Department of Agricultural and Consumer Economics here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. You're right now, you're wondering how you get hold of Gary Schnittke's article from the FEFO. That's the Farm Economic Facts and Opinion piece. You can do that online at the Farm Doc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. Should be on the front page. If it's not, it will be shortly. And so will the podcast that you just heard. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market this Monday afternoon is Matt Payne of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And the farmers making some phone calls to you today, wondering what they should be doing or if they ought to open the bin door up?
Right now, everyone's still the eternal bull. So guys are definitely looking into the future and seeing what is everyone's crystal ball saying. I mean, what we're concerned with here is that the market will continue to keep going higher for the short term anyway, and basis could continue to widen out as well. So maybe locking in something on a basis side may be the right answer for right now. That way you still have the top side open.
Has your basis for corn and beans both widened out in the last week?
No, it has not. But the closer we get to January delivery, I feel like it will. Freight will get a little tight just because a lot of guys, like you said, opening up the bin doors first part of the year to pay some bills, and deliveries will start flowing in, which tightens up on rail and barge. So basis could get a little widened out between the last couple weeks in December and the first couple weeks of January.
Tell me about the corn pile you had out back. When do you expect to have it gone?
We are hoping that it'll all be inside in the next couple weeks. This weather, we'd like to get it in without getting any more rain on it, as we already have. So,
a lot better than last year, I suppose.
Absolutely. Quality this year coming in was basically almost perfect. You couldn't ask for a better quality corn out of the field. And we've been fairly dry. There's only been one or two good rains on it. So at least we don't have too much hanging on.
What's your feel about the livestock sector you ship to the southeast, poultry and hogs, I suppose, and then to the export market? Where do you feel demand is, and will it stay strong?
Right now, it still is. A lot of the livestock feeders have hedges on, and they're still using them from, you know, a year ago. Now that they're having to buy in some more recent spot prices, it's a little sting on their pocket just because cattle, livestock feeders, all of them cannot afford to feed. You know, you can't afford to feed a chicken on $6 corn. So we can't be up here forever, but at least for the short term, it seems like they're still buying.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, we're at 567. Dece delivery, 569. January, 576. Next fall, 505. And for the bean side, cash beans, 1205. Dece delivery, 1215, January, 1225, and next fall, 1129 cash.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Payne is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. In just a couple minutes, I'll return. We'll talk with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast. This is the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National French Fried Clam Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, the first wagon of settlers left Independence, Missouri for the trip to California. In 1863, George Parker was born, an American inventor. He perfected the fountain pen and founded the Parker Pen Company. In 1873, Joseph Glidden began manufacturing his new invention, barbed wire, which opened the Western Plains to large-scale farming. In 1939, American biologist George Pincus showed off the first rabbit successfully conceived by artificial impregnation. Pincus removed an egg from the ovary of a female rabbit and fertilized it with a salt solution, and then transferred the egg to a second rabbit, which gave birth. In 1943, Alexander McAdey died, an American meteorologist. He invented and patented devices to protect fruit from frost, and he was a pioneer in the exploration of high-altitude air conditions. And in 1997, Victor Mills died. He was a chemical engineer who worked for Procter & Gamble. Among his many accomplishments, he improved Duncan Hines cake mix, inventing a process that made the cakes less lumpy, perfected a process for preventing oil from separating in Jif peanut butter, and developed a process that cut the production time of Irie soap bars down from 7 days to just a couple of hours. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
It's a beautiful day here in the Midwest. Sky's partly sunny to sunny at this point, but it warmed up nicely, I think, today. It was a little cool overnight. What can we expect in the future?
Well, it's a couple more days of the same. Very clear, somewhat seasonal weather, which we haven't seen much of. It's been much warmer than normal so far this autumn across most of the days. That changes on Wednesday night into Thursday. We have a front come through the Midwest. It's a dry front. There's really going to be little, if any, precipitation associated with it, but we turn the flow to out of Canada down through the Midwest, and Friday looks to be the chilliest day of autumn so far across the belt, with most locales not seeing highs, getting out of the low to mid-40s, and in lows overnight in the generally the upper 20s here across the central Midwest. So the coldest day on tap so far this fall looks to occur late this week. By late in the weekend, though, we're back in southwesterly flow. It's a warmer pattern, and by Sunday we have temps rebounding in the upper 50s and then even some 60s expected early next week as we get more entrenched in that southwesterly flow. Really, no signs of rain on the horizon for the next 8 to 10 days.
Can you talk about no signs of rain as they relate to the geographically dispersed hard red and soft red winter growing regions of the United States?
Well, it's pretty straightforward, Todd. In both areas, the Plains hard red belt as well as the Midwest soft red belt, we're entrenched in this pattern where there are no signs of rain through at least the middle portion of next week. So we go through the first third of November with nothing. Beyond that point, some longer-range model guidance is looking for some rains to develop out across the central plains. I think you need to take that with a grain of salt right now. But whether it's the Ohio River Valley, the central plains, all those areas look dry as this ridge that comes into play late this week. And then more so next week, it's just a dry and rather clear pattern.
Are we talking maybe long-term about a very mild winter, and does that mean a lack of snow or not?
Well, we're entrenched in a La Nina pattern, and what La Nina generally means is a ridge of high pressure setting up across the central and southern parts of the United States, so a warm bias generally. But in those winters, you tend to get a heavier swath of precip somewhere from the central southern plains up through the Ohio River Valley. Now, whether that's on the Ohio River Valley or north and west is a big deal, certainly for the Midwest soft red belt. But the plains generally will stay drier than normal in that type of regime. So it's going to be a fine line between where the storm track lines up. If we had to take a stab at this long lead, we'd push the storm track pretty far north. Looks like a much warmer and probably even drier than normal winter across much of the plains in the Midwest.
And a quick look for me at South America.
Yeah, the one area in South America which is starting to become a little bit more noteworthy is dryness that's developing in Argentina, specifically the eastern and northern areas of the Argentina corn, wheat, and cotton belt. 30-day total precip is running a little bit less than 50% of normal. There are some rains here on the horizon, but they're both minor coverage events. So we think that's going to be a growing story potentially here in November.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Visit us online if you'd like at willag.org, and you can hear him again off the website, or sign up for a podcast and have it delivered directly to your computer. Have a great afternoon.